Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making mental list in my head of all of the things that I am grateful for. Early in the morning, the dawn of a new day. New hope, new dream, new way. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today.
Abundantly with Tamika Patrice Kane on 109.9 Penn Station. What a pleasure and an honor it is to be with you on this second Thankful Thursday of the new year. This year has gotten off to a very interesting start with freezing temperatures throughout a large part of the country and Christmas vacation extending an extra week for the children and who are in school and a host of other oddities that have kicked off in the last 9 days of the new year. But if you are listening to the broadcast, there are so many things that are going right. In addition to being thankful for the basics such as food, shelter, clothing, running water, family, etc., which incidentally are the most important things, I am also very thankful that the truth is always revealed. No matter how much someone may try to hide it or lie to cover their tracks, the truth will always be exposed. God will reveal it. A lie by omission is still a lie. I know sometimes we think that we can just do whatever we want to do. And, you know, just because someone has not seen you do it, you know, here in this realm, that it has gone unseen or unnoticed. But the truth is God sees everything. And, you know, when things are not right, and the things that we are doing affect the lives of other people, he will cause those things to be exposed. And so, you know, I'm thankful that I don't have to worry about what's going on, you know, behind my back or anything like that, because he'll just shine a light on it. And like I said, a lie by omission is still a lie. Sometimes we think that if we, you know, have just blatantly, you know, told an untruth about something, that's the only way that we're able to lie. But we're able to lie in so many other ways. And by purposely not sharing something or withholding information that you know would be helpful or beneficial, those things are lies as well. And a lie, when exposed, has the ability to cause serious rifts between the parties involved, and trust can be seriously broken, sometimes even destroyed beyond repair. But no matter how painful a truth may be, it's always better to know who and what we're dealing with so that we can make the sound decision. And I know there are many of you out there who are actively pursuing your dreams and your goals and your visions for a better life. And you know that there are people who are praying against your success. They're talking dirty about you behind your back. They're sabotaging your success in every way that they know how. The good thing is this, that unless you give up, they can't stop it. They cannot stop what it is that God has spoken over your life. They may be able to delay it for a while or maybe even hinder it. But when God has spoken a word over your life and over your circumstances, he watches over his word to make sure that it does not return to him void. He is not allowing his word or his promises to fall to the ground as inactive seed in your life. So you can look your naysayers in the face, take a deep breath, smile, and leave them in God's hands. There's a scripture that talks about, "Vengeance is mine, thus says the Lord." He also promises in the Psalms that he will vindicate the righteous and he will pay back those who have wronged you, even as he is repaying you for all the things that you have lost. Know this. Know that no matter that you are entitled to your feelings. I know sometimes, you know, people will say, you know, oh, well, you have to keep everything positive. Okay, yes. You know, we do want to get to a place where we are being positive and things like that. We don't want to get stuck in a place. However, whatever it is that you are feeling, you know, God never asks us to do anything or to be anything other than just real and truthful and authentic in dealing with him. And so, you know, so many times people get real churchy or religious or super spiritual, you know, even if they're, you know, not necessarily Christian but are into more of the New Age kind of stuff. You know, super spiritual, everything's got to be, you know, on this plane or this vibration. But the truth is we are still people and we still hurt and we get disappointed and we have frustrations and we have all these things that go on inside of us. And if it were not meant for us to have emotions, if it was not meant for us to have feelings, then when God created us, we wouldn't have them. So they do serve a purpose. We don't want to allow anything negative to, you know, to rule over us. You know, but if you are having a moment and someone has, you know, done some foul stuff to you, they've betrayed you, they have broken your trust, they have just hung you out to dry, it is perfectly okay for you to have your moment, you know, even for a minute where you are just not okay. And what we reveal, God is able to heal. When we try and, you know, straighten our shoulders and, you know, lift our head up high and act like everything is okay, we are lying to ourselves. What we feel is still there, and he already knows. But until we are able to bring it to him and talk to him about it, and we can be frank, you know, God already knows what you're thinking. You know, so if you're cussing folks out, trust me, he's already heard it, even though it never came out your mouth. You know, if you are angry at him, you don't even want to talk to him, he already knows. You know, and so it doesn't make any sense to try and hide or sugarcoat or make something, you know, pretty that really isn't pretty just to be able to present it to him. Just bring it real and bring it sincerely. And then the two of you can really just hack it out. you know, I know that a lot of times we view God as this super impersonal being, or sometimes we will view him as being like our earthly parents, you know, and, you know, people are flawed, so they just, you know, our parents did the best that they were able to do, and unfortunately, or fortunately, you know, depending on what your situation is or was, you know, the situations and examples that we have with our parents are the first examples of what we get, or the first introduction that we get to who God is. And a lot of times what we have seen is not necessarily who he is. You know, if you had parents that you were kind of authoritarian, where it's, you know, you were seen and not heard, that is so not God. He requires and desires relationship. And so how do you have a relationship with someone that you can't communicate with? And you can't be honest with them. If everything's coming out your mouth, they're judging and, you know, fawning their faces up because it didn't come out and it wasn't pretty. You know, God's not concerned about that. What he's concerned about is having a relationship with you. And so, you know, those things are important to remember. And it can be a real journey getting out of the pattern of what you are used to when you have been dealing with your parents and learning to see God as your ultimate parent. But he is not, I mean, sure, he wants us to be, you know, respectful and, you know, and stuff like that, and to, you know, to honor him and to, you know, and to reverence him. But he also knows who he created. He knows what you think. He knows how you feel. He knows the things that get to you. He knows the stuff that you struggle with. He already knows. And he's the only one who can really help you through any of it. So, you know, you don't have to play brave or super smart or like, you know, I got this with him, because he is your ever-present help in your times of need. And so, you know, if someone has put you through the ringer and has really just, you know, hurt you, he already knows. And he feels your pain, and he's there to help heal that pain. But you got to reveal it to him and let him know, you know, where you are. I don't know if you guys caught what I said, but there is a scripture in the Psalms that talks about not only, the one that talks about vengeance is mine, thus says the Lord, and I will repay. Not only is he talking about repaying the person, the offender, you know, for the evil that they've done, but he will repay you for the things that you lost in the midst of going through those circumstances. And so, you know, that's important, you know, to know that, you know, he's not just, he's not far away. He is close to your circumstances and close to your heart in the midst of wherever you are and whatever it is that you're going through. And however it is that you might be feeling right now, you know, it's okay. Go ahead and just own those feelings and, you know, and just know that whoever has wronged you will not go unrewarded for the foul deeds that they have done. And that's not anything to gloat over. But for me, that is always a bit of a comfort to know that God cares about me and that he is not going to allow folks to just be dogging me out, you know, and just turn the head like he didn't see it and doesn't care that I'm hurting or that I am struggling through stuff. And so I don't know if that's a comfort for you, but that's a real comfort for me. Now, you know, I may not, just like you, you may not be part of that person's penance. You know, God alone knows the best way to be able to repay those people for the evil that they've done. And you know what? It really doesn't matter. You know, we're not supposed to focus on what it looks like to us. You know, their lives may appear to be completely unaffected, or it may look like, you know, they have gone and prospered even after they've tried to destroy your life. But looks can be deceiving. I'm going to say that again. It doesn't matter what their life looks like on the outside to your naked eyes. You know, it's gone and, you know, really just prospered in every area that you have been longing and waiting to prosper in. You know, while it seems like, you know, you might be at a standstill, or you might even have taken some steps back because of the stuff that they've done or whatever, but don't focus on what it looks like. Everything is not always as it appears. Look to be deceiving. And the truth is, it's not important for you or I to know how God has chosen to deal with his creation. The only thing that is important is to know that he will. You know, and that he will take care of you, and he will take care of me. And the things that he has promised that he's going to do for us, he's going to do. And so as long as we don't give up, you know, we are good, and he will still make good on his promises and his word to us. And so, you know, let that be a source of encouragement to you today. And so this kind of leads us right into our topic for the night, and we are talking about forgiveness. And we have been in the midst of this healthy relationship series, and so, you know, forgiveness ties right in with that, you know, and if we kind of take our time and just break this down real slow here so we can get it in bite-sized pieces. You know, I don't want to overwhelm you and give you everything at once, and then you're not able to get the things from it that you need to get and be able to actually digest it and process it and change your life. You know, we have not been who we are overnight. It has taken, you know, a series of events and circumstances and patterns, and it takes time to break those patterns and to become someone new and to do something different. Yeah, so we have to be patient with ourselves. We just kind of break the stuff down week by week in a slow way. So we've been talking about healthy relationships, and, you know, we kind of kicked it off, you know, on some real, like, intimate relationship kinds of stuff. But, you know, the truth is we have to deal with the relationship that we have with God, and we have to deal with the relationship that we have with ourselves. And those are, like, the most important ones of all. And so, you know, when we start dealing with other people and start really kind of struggling our way through and not really attracting good people and stuff like that, there's some stuff on the inside of us that we have to deal with. You know, you are attracting someone who has used you and set you up and just betrayed you. And, you know, there's something there to learn. There's no experience that we go through that's not supposed to teach us something, even if we don't understand what in the world is going on. It is there to teach us something. And so relationships are mirrors of what is going on inside of us. And so tonight we're going to talk about forgiveness, because if you're dealing with someone who has done some foul stuff to you, like things we were talking about earlier, and it has been allowed to be exposed, you don't leave a situation like that unscathed. You don't leave it without having some sort of bruise or cut or hurt. You know, there's been damage that's been done, and, you know, and trust has been broken. And, you know, you're not the same person now on the other side of that exposure as you were before. Even if we kind of have an inkling that something's going on, you know, that's kind of God's way of letting us know, hey, it's up, you know, pay attention, you know. And we may not fully know exactly what's going on, but we do know that there's something going on. And so you have not left a situation where somebody has literally just ran you through the ringer, trying to hurt you, and not been affected by it. There is just no way. And so, you know, one of the things that we have to kind of deal with is forgiveness. And we also, in addition to forgiving them, we have to kind of forgive ourselves too, because like I said, you know, we haven't just ended up there. You know, we have played a part in the things that have come up, in the circumstances and who we attracted, all of that. You know, it's not just one person just doing something. You know, it's kind of a give and take here, you know, and so we have to accept responsibility. And part of our job in order to be able to live the abundant life, and I know we talk about this all the time, is the need and the ability to be honest with yourself about yourself, about your shortcomings, you know, about the areas where you have really just, you've blown it. You know, let's just call it how it is. You have just blown it. But the grace of God has been there to help you to put it back together, and has kind of extended, he has extended favor to, you know, to be able to help you pick up the pieces so that it didn't just destroy you. Even though, you know, sometimes we do have stuff that feels like it has been, we've been right there at destruction. You know, but if you're here and you're listening to this broadcast, then you have not, it has not destroyed you after all, even though it may have felt like it. And so, you know, we have to be honest about who we are. We have to be honest about, you know, what's going on in us, or even what was going on in us at the time that we attracted a certain type of person to ourselves. And we need to be honest about, you know, how those, how the interaction or whatever it is, the betrayal has affected your life. And I'm thinking about this has been a number of years, and trust me, there have been other situations more recent. But I'm thinking very specifically about a time that in my life, maybe, oh, not quite 20 years ago, maybe 15, 16 years ago, and I was at a poetry venue, and I am I'm a poet in addition to, you know, a novelist and all this other stuff. So, you know, poetry was my thing, and I was at this venue, and I saw this person, and apparently there had been a show beforehand, and they didn't have really good, I guess maybe they didn't, you know, publicize it very well, and so they didn't have a good turnout, so they went right from the show to the weekly poetry series. And so here's all these people, you know, and I see this person across the room, and I hear very clearly, leave her alone. Okay? Hear it so clearly. And I'm like, you know, and I tend to be pretty discerning, you know, and I pay attention to, you know, how I respond and how I react, you know, to people and stuff like that. And so, but I'm reading this piece, and the piece happens to be on domestic violence. And so she comes up to me after the show, and, you know, and she's, you know, crying, and, oh, my goodness, I have a situation just like that. And, you know, she's just talking. And so my bleeding heart, Sally Struthers, let me save the world, mess kicked in. And even though I had very clearly heard God tell me to not go there, leave that person alone, you know, the fact that I saw that she was hurting, I'm like, oh, how can I help? But you know what? You can't help everybody. And so I'm gonna shorten this, this story. Within 6 months of meeting this person, you know, everything that I had worked so hard for had just crumbled at my feet, and I had no one to blame but myself. Yeah, you know, I couldn't, yes, she didn't have to be a foul individual, you know, and I'm trying to help her, and she had moved in my house, and, you know, and all kinds of stuff. But, and yeah, you know, I'm young at the time, you know, and so getting kind of stupid too, you know, and so I was making some moves that weren't very wise. And God spoke, and I heard him, and I chose to do what I wanted to do. And so my choices came back and bit me, and they bit me hard. And I had to pay for the decision that I made to go against what he told me. He knew who she was. He knew her heart, and he knew that she had nothing positive in her towards me. And so when she was doing stuff behind my back and all kinds of stuff, I mean, foul stuff. And then I think I mentioned that she had lived in my house too. Okay, so you've got all this stuff going on, and I was sincerely just trying to help her. And but the person didn't have anything good in their heart towards me. And so if I had listened, I could have kept myself out of all of that, you know. But it goes to show where I was at that particular time in my life, you know. Okay, obviously I'm thinking that I can affect someone even more than what God was able to do, because, you know, here I am trying to help someone, and he's telling me, don't help this person, you know. So am I then trying to play God in a way? You know, I mean, it's kind of strong, but you understand what I'm saying. You know, I'm putting myself in where it is that I didn't belong to be, and I got damaged, and I got hurt, and I had to go through, you know, the healing process, you know, because it's difficult when someone has betrayed you, and you have, you know, extended everything you've got to someone, and they have just snatched it and just done all kinds of foul stuff and then threw it back at you. You know, it is difficult to go through that. And at one particular time, you know, we had kind of separated. You know, I stopped dealing with her, and she started hanging out with some other people or whatever, and she needed a ride to work. So she called me and asked me for a ride to work. Okay, fine, whatever. I prayed about it. The Lord said it was okay, so I gave her a ride. And so we were talking, you know, well, she was talking, you know, of course, I didn't have much to say at this point, you know, but she needed a ride, so, you know, whatever. I had a car, and gave the person a ride. And she says to me, you know, when all that stuff was going on, we were saying things and, you know, slandering your name from one side of the country to the next, you never opened up your mouth and said anything. And I remember saying to her, I don't fight my battles. God fights my battles. And there was nothing that I could have said that would have changed anything about the circumstance. There's nothing that I would have said that would have made anything about it better or right. And so there was nothing for me to say. You know, now that doesn't mean that I wasn't hurt, you know, that people were taking and slandering me and, you know, and just creating all kinds of lies and speaking ill against my character. And I'm thinking, you don't even know me. How are you saying these things when I'm the one who's providing groceries and feeding you, because you're not feeding yourself, you know, I'm providing a roof over your head. How are you saying these things against me? But, you know, envy can make people do some real strange things. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And so the person, you didn't say anything. And so I'm saying to you that sometimes even when you want to say something, you know, and don't think I didn't want to, you know, turn it off from one side to the next, or, you know, just go off, or, you know, just read her the riot act. Trust me, and everybody along with them. I did. I wanted to, but I also realized that in that moment that there is nothing that I could have said that would have changed anything about the circumstance. Not only that, it would have just made me look stupid, and it would have given them more ammunition to be able to continue on with their attacks against me. And so, you know, I chose to take the low road, and I chose to trust God. Yeah, I cried my tears in private, like, really? But I chose to take the low road and to trust God to handle it, and he did. Every single person who had been any part of that foul stuff that was going on, every single one of them, you know, paid some sort of price for the things that they were doing. And it had enough stuff I knew about, some stuff I didn't know about, you know, but there were, you know, I caution people often, you know, pay attention to how you're treating people, because you never know what's attached to how you're treating someone, you know. And we think, oh, this person over here has nothing to do with anything. But the truth is, you know, the person that you see as the least is the person that God has attached your blessing to, the big one, the thing that you think that you just do not want to live without. You know, whatever that huge thing is, there is some person attached to that blessing. And it's not necessarily the person who is going to help you get it, but God's trying to see, how are you treating this person over here on your left? Do you see this person as valuable? Do you see this person as worthwhile? Sometimes I talk about what I went through when I was putting my first book out. I had a publisher. It was an interesting experience. I won't get into all that. But, you know, but I will say that there were people that the Lord assigned me to work with. And, you know, I have no problem working with startups. And so what the plan was for him to bless a bunch of people. And as I got my stuff out there, he would provide exposure, you know, positive exposure, you know, for other people and advancement, and give them an opportunity to be able to get themselves out there and say, hey, I worked on this project, and, you know, and potentially everyone who laid eyes on the cover or the book or whatever, say, you know, hey, I had a part in what happened here. You know, I created this for her, or I did that part for her. And he was waiting, you know, he was just watching to see, you know, how they treated me and if they had a good heart towards me. You could, even though, you know, this is the first project, did you see her as someone worthwhile? You know, yes, I know that you are ghostwriting for this person over here who thinks they're all that, and who, you know, the world sees as highly esteemed and, you know, valuable. And this person over here, she doesn't really have a title or anything yet, but I know who she is. And let me see if you treat her with the same kind of dignity and respect that you treat this man over here that you are ghostwriting for. Let me see if you'll do that. Let me see if you will treat this person who can only afford to print 100 books right now the same way you would treat your client who can print 10,000 books at a time. Let's see if you'll treat her the same kind of way, you know. And so I'm going to shorten this, but out of all the people who worked with me, only one person passed for her obedience and for her heart towards the project and towards the way she treated me. God promised to just open up the floodgates of heaven and just pour down blessings on her, promised to just blow her business up, you know. And it would have been that way for every single one of them that he had assigned to work with me, but they gave me their least, and God was just paying attention, and they didn't know what was attached to the assignment of help her get her book out. They didn't know. And so I say that to you because we don't know who is attached to our stuff, you know, and sometimes it's the person we don't want to treat right, or it might be the person that we just really don't even like, but he's paying attention to that, and or, you know, it may be the person you're thinking, they don't have anything, you know, I want to do this over here, and this person over there, you know, this person has all these contacts, and they know everybody, you know, she doesn't know anybody, he doesn't know anybody, how are they going to help me get along, and yet, you know, you have, remember, we are one person away from the biggest breakthroughs of our entire lives. I'm going to say it again. One person away from every single thing it is been waiting for. one person, but you don't know who that one person is. And I know the world looks at things and they esteem things a certain kind of way. You know, you have to have a nice big car, an expensive car, a Rolex, a big house, you know, some sort of brand label on your clothing. And we see all of this. We see all these trappings, and you have to look a certain kind of way and be a certain kind of way and have this zip code. And yet God sees stuff so differently than that. Do you know that the average millionaire shops at Walmart, has a late model American-made car, has been in the same house for 30 years, married to the same person for, you know, 30, 40 years, and is blue collar? Did you know that? And yet we look at these reality shows and we see these things on TV that tell us, you know, hey, oh, this person over here has the life. Yeah, we need to, you know, have a mansion that looks like that. I need to have a Lamborghini. I need to have whatever. And yet what they don't tell is the story behind it, that they are mortgaged to the hilt and they don't own anything. And so even though they have all this stuff, their net worth is zilch. They have nothing but a bunch of stuff that they don't own. And so when the creditors come calling, when they can't make those payments, all that stuff has to go back. Well, they could have taken their resources and invested in their future and actually owned things free and clear. So, you know, things are just not always as we think that they are. And I know you're probably thinking, what in the world does this have to do with forgiveness? I'm getting there. I'm getting there. You know, but what I am talking about is just how we see things and how we view things and how we view people and the need to be honest and accept responsibility for the part that we have played in certain things that have come to be in our lives. And forgiveness is a part of that because you have to forgive yourself, you know. But that means you have to be honest. That means that you have to honestly admit that you had something to do with it, and that's hard to do, you know. But you're honest with yourself, and it's like, okay, yep, this didn't just happen. This happened because I didn't listen. That, you know, we do have intuition or discernment or, you know, whatever folks like to call it, that little voice, you know, that little voice that says, you know, hey, go left when you were trying to go right, you know, that sort of thing. And when you obey it, you know, you find out later on that there was some huge accident or something. We have that. And so, you know, we have access to truth all the time. And, of course, we know that God is truth, and his spirit of truth lives with us and in us. And so we are never without truth. And so when stuff is going crazy or when things are trying to encroach upon you and be take you in a direction other than where it is that God knows is best for you, he will warn you. He will give warning. He'll tell you, you know, it may be get out of there and get out of there now. It may, you know, he may say go home. Yes, I know that's not where you want to be. Go home. You know, there's protection in obedience. I'm going to say that again. There is protection in obedience. I was talking to my mother yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I was frustrated about something, so I was talking about, you know, about whatever, and I remember mentioning that there have been assignments that God has given me, very specifically pertaining to people, and I'm thinking about one in particular. You know, there's, you know, selfish people really just don't do it for me. I'll just say that, okay? Probably, yeah, I'm not. I was never really allowed to, you know, to be that way. I'm thankful for it. I was allowed to grow up knowing that other people are just as important as I am. And so, you know, you have to give and get. Life is it's an ebb and a flow. It's a give and a take. There was someone that I knew, you know, who her whole world revolved around herself, and I know it was really rather irritating, but, you know, and there was a time when some things went wrong, and, you know, her husband lost his job and stuff like that, and the Lord would say, you know, do such and such. And so I'm not going to get into any of the specifics, but the people burned me bad. And I lost money and all kinds of stuff. And really had to struggle my way back out of it. And I was angry. And yet I was saying to my mother that when he gives me an assignment, I don't feel like I have the luxury of trying to decide if I want to bless somebody or not. Because I don't know who my blessing is attached to. So I could have decided, you know what, I don't like you. Or I don't like what you do, and I don't like the fact you never help anybody. You know, everything's always about you, your husband, and your child, you know, and you use people. But when he told me to do what I needed to do for them, I did what he told me to do. Did not matter. And so I look, when I get these assignments, I don't look at it like I have an option. I mean, technically I do. I can always decide not to. But since there's some lofty thing I'm asking him for, there's some stuff I want, I don't want to have blown off the assignment that he gave me, and that was the very thing that the big thing I had been asking for was attached to. So I'm going to let you think on that for a little bit, you know. And if you're kind of wondering, you know, hey, what's going on? What is it that God is telling you to do that you have not done? And so sometimes it's a person, sometimes it's a move, sometimes to give up something tangible, quit your job, whatever. You know, whatever it is that he is telling you to do, only you know what that thing is. And you also know that you haven't done it. And so it's not too late. Go ahead and repent and then just do it. And so, but know that you're not responsible for outcomes. And you are not responsible for what someone else chooses to do or not do. But like I said earlier, he will not allow his word to return unto him void. And so if he's spoken something over your life, whether someone else chooses to step up or not, he'll just keep presenting it to the next person who will. But you don't want to be the one who blows off the assignment that he gives you and the blessing you were waiting on was attached to it. You don't want to be that person, especially when you have been working as long as you've been working and sacrificing and putting stuff off and missing time with family and putting off loved ones, all get where you're trying to go. You do not want to be the person who blows off the assignment and misses the very thing that you've been waiting on because you would not obey. That would just be a knife to the heart that someone turned and then poured salt in. Yes, but the choice is yours. And so for these people who have been so foul, you know, I say all the time that hurting people hurt people, and they hurt themselves too, you know. And it may not seem like someone who has messed over you has hurt themselves, but they have. You know, if you are a person who has been a good friend to someone and you have, you know, poured the best that you have into them and they take it and just use it up and throw it on the ground and run the car over it, trust me, the day is going to come when they are going to long for a real friend. And then your face will flash and they will know that they had it and they chose to throw it away. They threw it away. And so you think that's not going to hurt? Of course it is. So even in the midst of them trying to hurt you because of whatever their reasons are, you know, they're hurting themselves too. And so, you know, people sometimes think that they are hidden, and they're not. You know, people are more exposed than they might realize that they are. And I guess, you know, they get to be that. But, you know, if they are going about and doing what it is that they feel like they need to do, you know, someone who has envy in their heart towards you, you know, meaning they want what you have or they don't want you to have what you have, you know, that's some stuff they get to deal with. And so sometimes they will do foul things to you, you know, in order to keep you from having what it is that you're supposed to have. But even in the midst of all of that, even when folks are purposely hurting your loved ones and, you know, doing all kinds of foul stuff behind your back, you know, you still have to forgive them. But you know what? The forgiveness isn't really for them. And forgiveness can be hard, you know. And sometimes we can just flat out just dig our feet in the soil and say, I don't want to forgive. I am not forgiving. But then when you realize it's yourself that you're hurting when you don't, you know, and then you realize that, hey, at some point in your life, you've messed over somebody too. You know, even if it wasn't purposeful, you know, you've hurt somebody, you know, and you needed somebody to forgive you. And so you know, you think, yes, but this is so personal. You don't know what this person, and you know what? I mean, ultimately, it doesn't matter. And so, you know, forgiveness is not a feeling. You can forgive some stuff and not forget it. You know, I'm not suggesting for the person who has tried to destroy your life that you go and befriend them, you know, offering an olive branch and all of that. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying, you don't even have to necessarily tell them if you have forgiven them. You know, but forgiveness is really between you and God and that person. You saying, you know what, I released it. But in the midst of releasing the forgiveness, you are really releasing yourself, because the person, you're tied to that person until you do, you know. And I have had my own, you know, series of struggles with folks who have just done me in. I'll just say that, you know. And I have, you know, some of them, it's been easy to forgive. Like, you know what, I understand that you are really a hurting person. And so passion for the pain that you're in allows me to be able to forgive you. But then there have been other people I have not been able to forgive quite as easily. And it has, I have struggled. And even now, you know, sometimes have to, oh, no, you said you were going to, you know, let that go. Or, you know, something, I'll think that I'm there and have some flashback or have something that springs up that reminds me, takes me right back to that thing, that episode that happened. And I realize, and I can feel it in my body, you know. Can you stop and think, you know, when you think about that person and that circumstance, you know, that really affected your life, where are you feeling it in your body? Do you feel it in the pit of your stomach? You know, are your shoulders tense? Are you having back pain? You know, have you been having issues with your knees since that time? You know, are you having migraines? What's going on with you? What is going on with you? You know, and it's directly tied to that circumstance with that person and your inability or unwillingness to forgive. Where are you feeling it in your body? You know, disease, dis-ease. It's just stuff that we have not let go that starts to attack the body. If whatever it is that you went through with that person, worth you not reaching destiny because you're sick and crippled, is it worth it? I don't think so. No. Is it worth having a body that's riddled in cancer? Is it worth it? Is it worth your bones and stuff deteriorating, you know, and literally just kind of body just kind of caving in on itself? Is it worth it? And so I'm going to go ahead and just put it out there and say, no, it isn't worth it. And so because it's not worth it, are you willing to just let it go? You know, you're not saying to the person that it's okay that you did this. But what you are saying is, you did it, I acknowledge it, and I choose to forgive you anyway. I am taking my hands off of it. I'm taking my mouth off of it. I'm taking my mind off of it, and I'm giving it and you to God, and I will let him deal with that. But in the meantime, I got too much to do, so I don't have time to be thinking about you and worrying about you and frustrated about something that you did or did not do. Is it worth it? And so those are the things that we really think about and talk about and need to, you know, come to terms with. You know, you have to be honest. Remember, we're trying to do this. We're trying to live abundantly. And living abundantly means living authentically, being listening to that authentic voice of truth on the inside of you that leads you into more truth, that leads you into your best life, that leads you into the abundant life. So you've got to be able to, you know, put your stuff aside, you know, all the things that we tell ourselves and, you know, puff ourselves up and feel like we are entitled and, you know, we have a right to and, you know, whatever. And just say, you know what, here I am. I am just, Lord, I am naked and I am unashamed. You know, this is me. You know, yeah, that black spot over there, yeah, that's just some hatred I feel towards so-and-so. You know, this stuff I feel in the pit of my stomach, yep, that's some unforgiveness I have for this one over here. You know, and so you just need a moment to just free yourself and to just be honest with yourself and to just say, you know what, if the person was really about something, you know, if they were really about something, then they would have done it, you know, and if they understood who they were or who they were created to be, because, you know, we need to know who we are and whose we are. So maybe they don't really know. Maybe they've been so torn down and so beaten down by others that the only thing they know how to do is to try and set somebody else back. It would hurt somebody else. You know, hurting people hurt people, and they hurt themselves too. Look at their other actions and other areas of their lives. You know, look at those actions. You know, are you seeing where they are hurting themselves even as they're trying to hurt you? Think about it. Think about it. You know, they may not feel like they're worthy of having a good friend. You know, may not really feel like they, I mean, if someone's cheating on you and sleeping around and trying to pay you back some kind of way, I mean, are they really paying you back? Or are they doing damage to themselves? You know, what's really going on? And yet, just the conversation with God is, Lord, I'm willing. I am willing to forgive, and I am willing to release this over to you. And even as I am having this, you know, doing this broadcast tonight, there are people who are coming to mind. And in this new year, I'm just not taking their stuff with me. I've had it long enough. And there's some folks I need to just release and forgive and let go. And you know what? I can't undo anything that's happened. I can't make them make better choices. And I can't make them love themselves and feel better about themselves to the point where they would allow themselves to have and keep decent relationships versus destroying them and sabotaging them. That's really on them. But that's the stuff they get to deal with. And so, you know, I, right along with you, will be having a conversation with God, and I'll be making my list, and I'll be journaling, you know, and really willing to just let some stuff go, because why not? You know, I really don't want to just be taking that stuff on. Like we said earlier, it certainly isn't worth it, you know, if you're feeling it in your body and, you know, starting to affect other areas of your life. You know, that's something to really just think about. And so when you say to God, hey, I'm willing to release this person, I am willing to forgive this person, then what he does is he brings about his power on top of your willingness, and then he supernaturally gives you the ability to do it. And so I remember reading a story years ago. It was in one of those Chickens for the Soul books, and it was a person who had gone through the Holocaust. And, you know, we have all heard about the horrendous, you know, abuses and atrocities that those Jewish people went through at the hands of, you know, really sick individuals. And so the person who was talking to me had gotten out of the concentration camp and all this, you know, so this was, you know, years have passed. And for whatever reason, I don't remember all the specifics, but what I do remember is that he ran across later in life the guard who had been the most brutal of all the people, you know, who had been doing stuff to him and his people, you know, and he remembered starving and, you know, and all of this. And the person had sensed, the guard had since found the Lord, and so, you know, he had a chance to repent and all that kind of stuff. And so he recognized the man and said to him, you know, will you forgive me? And so, you know, of course, in his mind, he's having flashbacks of all of torture that he went through at the hands of this person. And he had a moment to really, like, think about it, like, okay, am I going to forgive him, or am I going to keep holding on to this stuff? And he said when he decided, yes. When he touched the man's hand, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He wasn't even really sure at that point that he would be able to forgive, but when he touched the guy, and he had decided in his heart that, yes, I will, I'll forgive him, you know, and then figured he would figure out how to forgive him. Later, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him at that moment to enable him to be able to forgive this guy who had done all these foul things and had killed loved ones of his and all of this stuff. And in that moment, like, burdens were lifted off of him, and he could just feel it. And so I say all that to you to say that when you just decide, yes, I am going to forgive, you know, I know that this person has done some foul stuff. You know, they still probably even behind my back even right now doing some foul stuff. But you know what? Give them to you. I give that stuff to you. And we're going to just keep this thing moving. But when you decide, yes, Lord, I will forgive, His Spirit will come upon you and will give you the strength that you need in order to be able to release those people who have been the most foul, the most hurtful, you know, the most abusive towards you, who have affected your life the worst. And in so freeing them, you really are freeing yourself. And so just do it. Just do it. Do it because you've hurt someone and you've been forgiven. Do it because you deserve a life free from the encumbrances of yokes and burdens of experiences. You deserve a life that is free from sickness because unforgiveness has torn your body apart. Bitterness has torn your body apart. You deserve to have an abundant life. And you deserve to have it without all of that stuff trailing along behind you. Remember that song, Bag Lady, by Erykah Badu? You know, you're going to hurt your back. You know, carry on all that baggage or whatever it was that she said, you know. But it's true. You know, it's true. Just talking about like emotional baggage and all that kind of stuff. And we just don't have to. We can just make some other choices. So, you know, I mentioned before, I don't really do New Year's resolutions, but I do know that change is necessary. We should constantly be reevaluating and assessing and stuff like that, you know. And it is a good idea to have goals and that are measurable, you know, and give yourself some time frames on some stuff, you know, that sort of thing. And so, you know, like for the person who might want to lose weight, you know, okay. So, you know, you don't want to focus on it like it's the only thing that matters. But you do know, like, okay, well, when I eat this certain kind of food, my body doesn't feel so great. So, you know, a goal would be, okay, so replace this type of bread with a different kind of bread that doesn't have those ingredients. Or, you know, replace sugar with xylitol or stevia, something that doesn't tear the body down, you know. Or, I really don't exercise. So, okay, get out there and decide that you're going to walk for 30 minutes. Those things are measurable. You can look back and say, okay, yes, I can see how when I did this, I had this kind of effect. And so, you know, just over the next week or so, you know, just take a look at your life and assess and see, okay, what is it really going to take in order for you to get where you're trying to go? And what is it that you need to pour into yourself, you know? Or are you pouring too much into yourself and so your life is unbalanced because you're not pouring into anybody else, you know? Remember, it's an ebb and a flow, it's a give, and it's a take, you know. And just as important as you are, the person standing next to you or the person across the street or the person on the bus, that person's important too. And so, you know, we can't be so self-absorbed that we don't pour back into the lives of other people. You know, those are not the kinds of seeds that we sow. But at some point, you're going to need somebody to pour back into you, and you don't want to have sown seeds of selfishness. And then at the time that you need it, because you've been so selfish, there is no one for you because you've alienated everybody with your selfishness because you don't want to help anybody. You know, that is really not, that's not the kind of life that you want for yourself. And so, you know, we're just going to, because remember, we're honest. So, hey, we're going to just call that stuff off here, you know. But over the next week or so, just really take some time and figure out, okay, what areas do I need some help in? You know, am I lonely? Do I need some friends? Okay, then how can I make some adjustments? Maybe I need to go out more or, you know, whatever your thing is. And so we want to have a balanced life because living abundantly is being balanced as well, you know, balanced in spirit, balanced in emotions, balanced in, you know, in health and wellness and relationships and finances too. All those things are a real balance. And so I'm going to, you know, pretty much shut this down at that point. But just know that whatever it is that you truly are desiring for yourself, you know, more than you want it, God wants you to have it too. And he is making available to you the things that you need in order to be able to make sure that you can handle what you're asking for. There's a scripture that talks about not pouring old wine into new wineskins. And what that's referring to is, you know, because if you pour the new wine into the old wineskin, it would actually cause the vessel to burst and you lose all of the wine and the skin too. And so what the wineskin is for us is those thought patterns and processes and things that we have always done. And so all of this is a part of us creating new wineskins so that we are preparing ourselves and readying ourselves so that when he is ready to bring to us what we have been asking for, we can actually handle it. You know, do you really want him to bring you $1 million if you haven't learned how to handle your finances? So the only thing that's going to happen is your old wineskin is going to have you in the same patterns that you had before and you end up broke again. Is that really what you want? No, of course not. You know, not when you can start working on your mental blueprint about money. You can start recognizing what your patterns are with money. You can start saving and investing. You can, you know, hook up with some people who know more than you. How about that? We don't have to know it all, okay? Not when we can seek wise counsel, which the Bible actually also tells us to do. And so it says that there's safety in a multitude of counselors. Oh, how about that, you know? But it's got to be people who are wise and who know what they're talking about and what they're doing. And so I bring all that up to say that, you know, you just continue on in this journey and this path, creating new wineskins so that you are readying yourself. You want to have a healthy relationship. Well, then I guess you need to do the stuff to have a healthy relationship and to be able to attract someone who wants a healthy relationship too, you know. And, you know, it's one thing to want it. It's another thing to still be stuck in a place and to not be able to handle it. And so you want to be able to handle the things, handle effectively and long-term the things that you're asking for so that it's not just coming but you're losing it. And so we're going to just do the work. And so on that note, though, but, you know, I have the one novel that's out, which is doing, you know, quite well. And if you have not picked up your copy, be sure to do that. Season of Change by Tanique Patrice Kane. You can find it on Amazon. It's available on all the e-readers. And e-reader downloads are only $1.99. And, of course, you can follow me on Facebook if you're not doing so already, Tanique Patrice Kane. And that's Tamika, T-U-M-I-K-A, Patrice, P-A-T-R-I-C-E, Kane, C-A-I-N. On Twitter, I am at Tamika Patrice. For information on what I'm doing and the book trailer and my blog and all of that, you can go right to my website where it's one-stop shopping, www.tamikapatrice.com. And I look forward to hearing from you, and I hope that, you know, these messages are ringing true and that each week you are getting some new nugget of truth that is changing your life and that is leading you towards more, towards the destination that you truly seek, which is living the most abundant life that you were created for, you know, that you are one step closer to fulfilling destiny. And so even a small step in the right direction is a step in the right direction. And so know that you are worth it. Know that you are capable and able and fully equipped to be all that you were created to be, to do all that you want to. And just give it everything you've got. And, of course, as always, make each day a great day on purpose. Good night.